In the 2 Corinthians, in that letter, Paul had sent a first letter, 1 Corinthians, with the preacher who was named Titus. He delivered that letter, and then Titus eventually meets up with Paul. After several delays, they meet up together. And in doing so, Paul learns about not only how they accepted his first letter, but he also learns about some problems other than what he was told about earlier. One of these deals with false teachers. In fact, a major portion of 2 Corinthians is dealing with those false teachers. In Corinth, false teachers from the Jewish persuasion had come into the congregation. And they wanted to convince the brethren that they had to follow the law of Moses in order to be acceptable to God. But they had a big problem, and that was Paul himself. Paul's teachings were clearly contradictory to their own teachings. And what appears to be happening is they're started spreading doubt about Paul's credentials, about Paul's abilities, so that people would not listen to what Paul said. And Paul actually starts to contradict and challenge this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 1. He approaches this head on. "I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness. But indeed you are bearing with me, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve with his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of the devotion to Christ." His chief concern was how willing these Corinthians were able to follow and accept different teachings. After all the training that he had from Paul while being with them, by other, like Apollos, coming and teaching among them, Titus was there, and yet Paul's flabbergasted that they are willing to follow doctrine that's different. And in starting at verse 4, Paul says, "For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you have received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully." And jumping down to verse 19, he says, "For you, being so wise, tolerate foolishness gladly. For you tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. To my shame, I must say that we have been weak by comparison." And that's what Paul starts talking about, his weakness. Because this is one of the avenues in which they were attacking Paul. That, oh, he's not that dynamic of a speaker. He's not that eloquent. He doesn't come across powerfully. Well, maybe in his letters he does, but not in person. And so he says in verse 21, "To my shame, I must say that we have been weak by comparison." But then he continues on to show that he has demonstrated strength. He said, "But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am just as bold myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? And I speak as if insane. I'm more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I've been shipwrecked. A day and a night I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers from the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and clothes and exposure. And apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern about all the churches. Paul's been busy. Paul has had a lot on his mind. And it's not because he lacks strength. If he shows weakness when he's personally there, he says in verse 29, "Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?" Paul empathizes with people. He might come across as weak, but he's trying to reach people where they are at. In fact, he goes on to say, I much rather boast in my weakness. In verse 30, if I had to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the Ethrarch under Atreus, the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes in order to seize me, and I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and so escaped his hands. Paul would rather boast in his weakness. And then he relates a story about his early times. And that's sometimes a little bit confusing. It doesn't seem to quite fit. But we've got to understand something. See, soon after Paul became a Christian, if we go back to Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9 and in verse 19, it says, "Now for several days he was with the disciples who were in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' And all those who hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, 'Isn't that he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on the name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ." Well, of course, the Jews were not happy about this. They wanted Paul, or Saul as they knew him, to be destroying the church. They weren't happy about Saul's discussion with them and his conversion. And so in verse 23, it says, "When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him." They couldn't answer his conversion. They couldn't answer his points. The only way to settle this is, let's just get rid of the guy. And so in verse 24, "But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gate day and night so they might put him to death." And then with the help of fellow Christians, he escaped. In verse 25, "But his disciples took him by night and led him down through the opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket." But what Paul was saying in Corinth to the Corinthians, when he related this story about him being let down the wall, he saw this running off as a sign of weakness. Think about other times. Like when he was facing the prophet Elymas in Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 8. "But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time.' And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Here was opposition, and what did Paul do? He blinded them by asking God, but of course it was God's power, but he faced it down. And then he was driven out of Antioch of Pisidia in Acts chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews incited devout women of the prominence and leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of the feet in protest against them and went on to Iconium. He wasn't going to let anybody intimidate him. And then, again, at Lystra, in Acts 14 and verse 19, but the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. And the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. This is the type of person Paul is. He's not going to let anybody intimidate him. And he's looking back at the beginning when he let his disciples convince him to let himself be let down out of the wall and saying, yeah, there's been times when I've been weak. I didn't stand up like he thought he should. He's just not that type of man to run. And I'm sure his enemies made the most of the fact that he didn't stay and face them in Damascus. But then Paul told a story about a vision. It's about himself, but he tells it in the third person. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 1, it says, boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. Well, why the third person? Well, it kind of explains it in verse 5. On behalf of such a man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except in regard to my weaknesses. This is something that most people, if you think about it, what prophet, especially a false prophet, if he actually had a real vision like this, would be telling everybody in the world? We have people, even today, I died and I had gone to heaven and came back. There was one person that said, I went to hell and came back. And I mean, they were broadcasting all over the place, telling about this vision. Turns out to be false, but they're telling about this vision. Well, Paul had an actual, real vision. He said, but I'm not going to boast in that. I'd rather talk about my weaknesses. That's why he's talking about the third person. In fact, Paul only brings this up in order to tell us what happens next. He would boast. He could boast and tell the, and be, still be telling the truth, but he wants to be known for who he is and not for his past accomplishments. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. I'd rather you know me for who I am now, not about what happens in the past. Well, who is he? Well, he said earlier, if you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, And in verse 10, for they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. He's a lousy speaker. He has not much to look at. Instead, what Paul does is talk about what resulted from his heavenly vision in verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. That was the result. Now, what his infirmity was is never mentioned. He did mention that he had a problem in Galatia. If you take a look in Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, and in verse 13, but you know what it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Jesus Christ himself. Whatever it was, we don't know. But obviously it was painful, because he calls it a thorn in the flesh. And he also mentions that it was difficult. He asked three times for it to be gone. But he was told that Jesus' grace was sufficient. In verses 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I want you to think about this just for a moment. We're talking about paradoxes. Power is shown in weakness. I would rather boast about my weakness. Who's stronger? Were the false teachers who talked boldly and eloquently, had all the acceptance of the Jewish community, who probably never really faced any difficulties, were they the strong ones? Or was it Paul who faced multiple hardships because of his beliefs and then kept going? In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, he says, therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I want you to think about yourselves. Do the challenges in life weaken you or make you stronger? Is your life about yourself or about the Lord that you serve? How do you demonstrate strength? The Lord shows us that is done through weakness. It's not about me. It's about the Lord I serve. I hope you'll think about these things. And if there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.